From the pen of master storyteller Archie Jeffries comes episode 3 of Gush, adapted for radio by himself from the best-selling blockbuster novel that took the world by storm, even though some of the critics were rather snippy. With special guest star Gerard Depardieu as the Speaker of the House of Commons. Gush is brought to you in association with Zicon Photocopiers, makers of the ZX90 Chromacopy.
The Prime Minister, what exactly he intends to do about his Trade Minister, Mr. Foxwell Cravat, who has apparently sabotaged the vital OPEC trade delegation conference in Dubai in an attempt to ruin his arch rival, the ruthless American Max Pomeroy, the head of Transworld Oil and owner of the pipeline that brings oil to the West. And furthermore, is he aware that even as we speak, Cravat's diplomatic gaffe in presenting Prince Saudi of Arabia with a pound of sausages wrapped in a satanic verses will leave Europe oilless and the world teetering on the brink of Armageddon?
Yeah. All I can say is it was a lot worse under Labour.
I, Prince Saudi, have never been so insulted in my life. The deal is off. The pipeline will not open. Guards, shoot these men.
What?
Good. I will send these photographs to your governments as evidence that you, Foxwell Cravat, and you, Max Pomeroy, are my prisoners. I will obviously make photocopies for myself on the excellent Zicon ZX90 chromacopy.
As Her Majesty's consul, I must protest in the strongest possible terms.
Yes. Mr. Deville, do you wish to have your tongue cut out?
You can't scare me, Prince Saudi. Although I'd like to go on record as saying that I think you're being jolly lenient. Bravo.
What the hell are you playing at, Javier?
First rule of diplomacy, Pomeroy. Suck up to Johnny Nabob and you can twist him round your little finger.
You are right, Mr. Deville. I am far too lenient. I hereby sentence both men to death.
Sorry, chaps. Cravat. It's me, Pomeroy. I'm in cell number 3.
I know, Pomeroy, so am I. Just stop that damn tapping, will you? It's getting on my nerves.
Dinner time, dogs.
I can't eat this. It's crawling with cockroaches.
So what?
I'm a vegetarian.
Oh. All right. Maybe I could get you a omelet or a cheese salad.
How about a quiche?
I'll ask the chef.
Jesus, prison is really barbaric. No set vegetarian menu. I can't take it anymore. Let me out. Let me out!
I've waited a long time for this, Pomeroy. Revenge is sweet.
You're a damn fool, Cravat. We could have had everything. I would have been a multi-billionaire. The world's richest man. I'd have been in the Guinness Book of Records just underneath the world's fattest woman.
Well, hard cheese, old man.
And you? You would have solved the crisis and returned home to England as Prime Minister by public demand.
Yes, but you're forgetting one thing.
What?
The rivalry, enmity, and arch-hatred that has driven us throughout these past 3 decades, ever since we left Cambridge.
Visitor to see you, dogs.
Devere. I never thought I'd be pleased to see you.
Look, don't worry. I'm doing everything I can to get you out. I've notified the human rights people and they've got right onto it.
Great. So, well, what's happening?
Well, there's a benefit night at the Hackney Empire, hosted by that chap who does the lager advert. And the woman from EastEnders is going to read a poem.
Brilliant, Devere. Is that it?
Of course not. You've also been elected joint rectors of the University of Middlesex, formerly Trent Park Polytechnic. It was very close, but you ended up 3 votes ahead of Zig and Zag from Channel 4's Big Breakfast Show.
I don't believe it.
It is a great honor. Last year, it was Samantha Fox.
For God's sake, Devere, we're going to be executed tomorrow morning.
Face it, Pomeroy, you're going to die.
I'm too rich to die.
But if there's anything I can do, anything at all, Let me know.
How about saving our lives?
Anything apart from that. Prince Saudi is pretty shirty, and the FO view is that it might just cheer him up a bit to have you publicly disemboweled. Put him in a better mood for reopening negotiations.
Get out of here, De Vere. I prefer the cockroaches for company.
Well, if that's all the thanks I get for coming here and telling you I'm not doing anything, then I'll be on my way. God, this is hopeless.
On the contrary, Pomeroy, I'm rather enjoying it.
You're happy to die just to get even? Surely you've got something to live for. Your government? Your country? Your wife?
My wife?
Yeah, you remember. Iolanthe Diamond, the actress who went to Hollywood.
Oh, yes, I remember. But that's all ancient history. Ancient history. Ancient history. Ancient history.
Ancient history records there was a time when one woman fought for what she believed in and took on the might of Imperial Rome. Her name was Boadicea, Queen of the Angles.
Cut! Where is she? Where's that goddamn Iolanthe Diamond?
She's in her trailer, Mr. Paramount. She won't come out.
It's me, Iolanthe. Larry Paramount. Is there some kind of problem, baby?
My trailer's too small, and my name on the door is too small, and this bonsai tree you gave me, it's too big! And I want a door that makes more noise when it slams!
James, Iolanthe, just come on and do the song.
I'm not doing the song!
What do you mean? You can't do Boadicea without the songs. It's a historical musical, that's the hook. Cleopatra meets the Sound of Music. He can't fail.
So where are the songs in Ben-Hur?
Heston kept taking them out. Believe me, the tap routine in the leper colony was sensational. Yesterday, you said you loved the songs.
I've changed my mind.
Iolanthe, you're acting like a spoiled child.
Yes, but I'm acting it brilliantly because I'm the best. Iolanthe Diamond, screen legend, the star of Good Time Girl, the fantastically worldwide smash success.
That was 5 years ago, Iolanthe, and let's face it, kitten, you haven't had a hit since. Codename Valor bombed. The Sands of Coco Rico went belly up. Schizo closed after the first weekend. Ruby People wasn't even released. Your career's going down the pan and your marriage is on the rocks. You're a walking disaster zone. You're a dope fiend, an alcoholic, and worse than that, you put on a couple of pounds.
It! I've run out of crockery! And I quit!
No, lady, you're fired. You're never working this town again.
Ha! You can't do this film without me.
Sure I can. Just watch me. I'll get in Liza Minnelli, keep the songs, dump Roman Britain, set it in Nazi Germany, and call it Cabaret!
Hello, Foxwell Cravat. Yes, I am Iolanthe Diamond's husband, although I haven't seen much of her in the last 5 years, because she's been very busy with her film career, and I'm trying to get into politics. But who is this? What do you mean, she's ill? Well, last time I saw her, she looked fine. It was in the Sands of Coco Rico. She was water skiing. Oh, no. A suicide attempt? I'll catch the first plane out of Heathrow.
Nurse, I'm not too late, am I? Unfortunately, the first plane out of Heathrow went to Prague. I'm looking for the actress Iolanthe Diamond. How is she?
Well, she's been very weak, particularly in the Santa Cacarico.
So is she resting?
Of course. She's hardly going to be in work after a turkey like that. But here's a doctor. He'll know more.
Your wife is a very stupid woman, Mr. Cravat. She tried to swallow a whole bottle of sleeping tablets. Luckily, the bottle stuck in her throat.
But why did she do it?
I'll show you. Nurse, the screens.
Monsieur, would you like one of my baguettes?
This is your wife in codename Valor, which she made just after Schizo.
Yes.
You can see clearly.
Germans do not eat baguettes.
It's sufficiently dire to drive anyone involved over the edge.
But they are French, and there is a war on.
I had no idea it was that bad.
Iolanthe's now in a coma, suffering from post-celebrity withdrawal trauma syndrome.
What's that in layman's terms?
About $50,000 a day.
I'll pay whatever's necessary, even if it means selling the Cravat estate. Because whatever else has happened between us, she will always be my wife.
Perhaps this tragedy will draw us together. Oh, look. Look, she's waking up.
Darling.
You see, Doctor, it's all going to be okay.
Darling, Matt. Darling, Matt.
Pomeroy, I couldn't get away from you. Your shadow hung over my life. But now I'll have the satisfaction of seeing you die in less than 6 hours, to be precise.
Jeez, just 6 hours left to do all the things I wanted to do in life. Well, I'm not going to read Middlemarch, but there's one thing I can do.
Pomeroy, stop it, infidels. I have some good news.
We're being let off with a warning?
No, you die as planned. But before you do, Prince Saudi has magnanimously granted you one last request.
What?
A last request. Something to brighten your final hour of existence. So, what would you like?
I know what I'd like. A Zykon ZX-90 chromocopy.
A wise choice, dog. The photocopier with the multiple option color facility and practical paper stacking system.
Make that two.
Let me out of here! I demand to see the British consul!
By Prince Saudi's decree, all foreigners are confined to the hotel for the duration of the crisis.
This is outrageous! I need to speak to my agent in Hollywood.
That will not be possible. We have cut the phone lines.
You don't understand. I'm in constant demand. Offers are piling up as we speak. I've got a great chance of landing the role of the president's wife in the new Kushner vehicle.
No, that went to Uma Thurman. It was in Variety.
What? She's far too young. I could have brought so much more maturity to the part.
Yes, but she is, how you say, hot on the back of her film noir remake.
Hi, Lampy.
Oh, Arab. Bella, thank goodness you're here. Can you kindly explain to this gun-toting gorilla that it would have been much more imaginative casting to put me opposite Costner rather than some anorexic lightweight?
What is the meaning of this? I insist on seeing Prince Saudi Arabia immediately.
Impossible. He is in a meeting of the war cabinet with the tribal elders. They are discussing the sausage affair. And Prince Saudi is implacable in his wrath.
You know him, Arabella. How wrathful is that?
Pretty wrathsome, to be honest.
Wrathfilled enough to go through with the execution of Foxwell and Max by public disembowelment in 3 hours' time?
Yes. He makes the wrath of Khan in his Star Trek film of that name seem like mere irritation.
In that case, you've got to talk to him. There is not a moment to lose.
You're right. But I fear Prince Saudi's steely naval pride has stiffened his resolve.
But he loves you, Arabella.
No, I believe, Ilancy. But nabobs of the dunes are not like you and I. They have mysterious moods that shift like the sands of Araby themselves.
Just go hump his brains out. There really isn't a moment to lose.
Typical. Sex is your answer to everything, isn't it?
What do you mean?
After your suicide attempt in Hollywood, your marriage to Foxwell was a sham. You had every casting director in town.
That's a damned lie. I never slept with Morton Chuckster. Well, only once. I was desperate. I needed another hit, or I was going to end up like a half-smoked cigarette, stubbed out in the ashtray of history, half enjoyed, half wasted, burnt out too early, with only a lipstick smudge to tell the world that I ever existed.
Bravo! Bravo! Your classic speech from the 1973 film Tinseltown, which effectively relaunched your career. You have moved my Arab heart to tears. I shall allow you to see the British consul after all. And hurry, because as you mentioned earlier, there is not a moment to lose.
Severe. Thank God we've got you while there's still time. In less than an hour, Max and Foxwell are going to be killed. You've got to do something.
I am doing something.
You're doing the Times crossword.
How can you?
Well, it's quite simple when you get the hang of it. Worker is always ant, and doctor is always MD. So you put the two together and it makes... And I haven't done that one yet.
Oh, for God's sake, Charlie. We've got to find Prince Saudi and get him to change his mind.
All right, I'll help you. Prince Saudi is holed up in a secret desert lair. This is how we get there. Give me a pen and a piece of paper.
You've already got a pen, Charlie.
Here he is. There.
You've written, Prince Saudi's secret lair, please.
Correct. We stand by the main road into the desert and hold the sign up.
Oh, come on, Charlie. That'll never work.
You are very lucky. I am going straight to the lair. Hop in.
Thank you.
Could you drive quite fast, please? Because our friends are going to be publicly executed in 40 minutes.
So far, so good. But what do we do when we get there?
Simple. I'll get us past the guard. But how? By dressing as a French peasant woman in a beret who has come to deliver the guests. While I flirt with the sentries, you two slip through disguised as Wehrmacht officers.
What?
It works in Codename Valor.
Ah, yes. 1971 with the late Teresa Vallis. Never got the general release, though it was shown on television at Christmas for many years.
Look, I stand by it as a piece of work. Andy kept the wolf from the door in the days before Tinseltown.
Now, there was a veritable classic. It got into Mr. Barry Norman's top 100, I believe.
Look, we've got under 30 minutes to save them. This is no time for reminiscing.
Sing something, Isle Andy. Something from your new hit, Tinseltown.
Oh, Charlie. No, I couldn't. Oh, come on, guys. Give us a break. Oh, all right, then. Tinseltown, Tinseltown. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down.
Yeah, that lady's got Oscar winner written all over her face.
Boy, what a swell opening night party this is.
Excuse me, Miss Diamond. I'm Myrna Lamar, showbiz reporter for KDP-TV Celebrity Hour.
Hi, Myrna.
Now, Tinseltown is a story of a drunken failed actress whose career is on the rocks until she makes the last-ditch comeback with a film about a drunken failed actress whose career is on the rocks.
That's right.
Is it in any way based on your own life?
Well, Myrna, one always tries to bring something of oneself to a part. Mm. Maybe a walk, a gesture, a propensity for alcohol abuse and disastrous career moves. But I wouldn't want you to make too close a comparison. We're two very different people. I'm Iolanthe Diamond, and the character I play is Desdemona Emerald.
Thank you, Iolanthe, and good luck with the Oscar. Now, who is the next glamorous star standing by the lobsters and amphetamine sauce?
I'm Foxhill Cravat.
Who?
Iolanthe's husband. I've been looking after her since her suicide attempt, sacrificing my own career in order to give her the support and stability she needs.
Well, that's all very interesting, except that it isn't cut.
You're such a bore, Foxwell. Why did we have to leave so early?
We were the last to leave.
What about the guy in the pool?
He was dead.
People were still arriving.
That was the police.
I was having a good time.
You were dancing with the pathologist.
No, someone wound up dead. It was a Hollywood party. We're living life to the limit, hanging onto the edge, raging against the dying of the light.
Drinking too much.
You're such a wet blanket, Foxwell. And a star like me needs satin sheets.
When I came out here, you were in a hospital bed.
I was sick.
You were sleeping with the doctor. I had to sober you up, dress you down, give you back your self-respect. Without me, you'd be nobody.
And now you're the nobody, right? Why can't you be more like, I don't know, Max Pomeroy?
How dare you mention that name to me? Pomeroy may be rich and powerful and successful and famous, but
what?
I can't think of any buts offhand, but when I do, I'll...
Yes?
I'll... I don't know.
You're pathetic, Foxwell. Just take me home. Come on, put your foot down. Shoot the lights. We've erratically while you're putting a cassette in.
You're backseat driving, Iolanthe. And worse than that, you're backseat drunk driving.
Overtake the police car. Hit the bollard. Smash into the sidewalk. Turn over the car. Faster. 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 Oh, come on. Come on.
Leave the driving to Mr. Atman, Iolanthe. He's kindly taking us to Prince Saudi's secret desert lair.
Here we are.
Am I drunk? Or are the dunes opening up before my very eyes?
Yes, you are. And yes, they are. The lair is in fact a huge underground tent made out of steel and camouflaged beneath the Sahahaha sands.
Come on, you lot! There's no time to marvel at the mix of technology and primitive ethnic design combining to create a unified whole that is still sympathetic to the environment. There's only 10 minutes to go.
9 now.
If the Americans choose to attack, we will retaliate with all the forces at our disposal. Uncle Abdul.
I have 6 mounted battalions of goat cavalry. Hand-picked warriors, all skilled in the ways of the goat.
Excellent, excellent. And you, Uncle Faisal?
A brigade of locusts. A highly trained airborne crop assault team.
Splendid. And you, young cousin Saladin?
I have 250 ground-to-air Stinger missiles with multiple tactical warheads, infrared sighting, and flexible launchers.
Ah, the young of today, they know nothing of desert warfare. Tell me, boy, what can these missiles do that our goats and locusts cannot, huh?
They can take out a USAF F-14 at 35 kilometers.
Fair enough. Let's go with the missiles. Now, let us drop the redundancy notices for the locusts.
Ladies, Sylvia! What is the meaning of this?
My apologies, Your Eminence. They slipped past the sentries dressed as German officers.
Fools! Did none of you see codename Valor last Christmas?
I apologize on behalf of Her Majesty's government for what we realize must be a very unwelcome intrusion. And I would...
For heaven's sake, Charlie, they'd buy in 3 minutes.
2, actually.
Leave this to me. Oh, my Wazir of the Wastelands. My Dervish of the Dunes. I beg for mercy.
No. A pitiful plea to put to a prince, but the mind of the Mahdi is made up.
Splendid alliteration, my prince.
Yes, I learned it at Haileybury.
Good grief. I was at Haileybury. Which house were you in?
Fletcher's.
Amazing. So was I. Come to think of it, I had a little Arab chap as a fag. We once wrapped him up in a towel and threw him off a cliff.
Yes, I believe you did.
Shut up, Charlie. You're making it worse. Now, where was I? Respected sire, surely clemency is the mark of true nobility. Forgiveness, the highest badge of true courage. Is it not braver to stay the hand and smite the defeated? Go on, let them off.
Please, please.
Disemboweling squad! Present! Ceremony of arms!
Oh, enjoy hell, Pomeroy. I doubt it, since you'll be there.
Ravens! All present and peckish!
By the way, Cravat, there's something you might as well know. You remember Arabella had a son, and you thought he was mine?
Yes.
Well, she called him Foxwell Jr. Guess why?
You mean he was mine all along?
Got it. One.
You're not the lowest of the low, Pomeroy. You're several notches lower. I've got something to live for now.
Look! Stop, everyone! It's all been a terrible mistake!
Prepare for ritual slaughter!
Oh.
Ready! Aim!
Excuse me, gentlemen. It's my pager. I'll be back in a second.
Pomeroy, Cravat. Good news, you infidel dogs.
As good as the ZX-90 chromocopy from Zykon?
Well, maybe not as good as that. The Zykon is truly a marvel of photocopying technology.
Particularly with interest-free finance on selected models.
Indeed. But this is still quite good news. You are not going to die after all. Prince Saudi, in his infinite wisdom, has decided to spare your life.
Tough luck, Cravat. Another of your plants eats my ass for breakfast. Pomeroy lives to fight another day.
Yes, but so does Cravat.
Cravat and some.
Does not Prince Saudi keep his word?
Thanks, Prince Saudi. As we say in Hollywood, it's a tough cookie who knows when to crumble.
Or as we diplomats say, hats off to old Beardy.
For the last time, Charlie, shut up.
Your motives, Lady Arabella, I understand. For underneath your glamorous designer clothes from your own celebrated snazzy collection, there beats a heart of gold. You, the Vere, are beneath content.
Thank you.
But Miss Diamond, what are you doing here? Why do you risk your life for these men?
Okay. Maybe there's some part of me that's ashamed of the way I treated Foxwell. Maybe there's a little voice inside of me saying that what Max and I did was wrong, but I'd rather not talk about it.
I respect that memories are often better as silent friends.
Anyway, it all came to a head on March the 6th, 1974. Oscar night.
Oscar night is my Valentine. Moving the floor in 74. Here's a laughter, don't get after it. Here's a laughter, don't get after it.
Good luck, Alanthi. I'm rooting for you, darling.
Shut up, Foxwell. I want to hear my name.
And the nominees are Jane Fonda, Barbara Streisand, Meryl Streep, Goldie Hawn, Niall Antetokounmpo. And the winner is Niall Antetokounmpo.
Gentlemen, thank you for this honor. It'll come in handy at the doorstop. thank you, but seriously, I know that political statements on these occasions are not always welcome, but on the subject of Vietnam, I feel I have to speak out. I say, troops in. Right. Let's get back there. Kick some ass and zap us on the Thank you. Thanks. But on a personal note, I'd like to dedicate this award to one man without whom I would not be here today.
Oh, darling.
Through good times and bad, he's always been there. A good friend and a terrific lover.
I'm her husband, you know.
The man who had so much faith in me and Tinseltown that he backed it with $57 million of his own money.
Hey, hang on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Max Pomeroy.
Pomeroy, I'll get even with you. Even if I have to chase you to the end of the world. End of the world. End of the world. End of the world.
The end of the world is at hand, Miss Diamond, so I'm afraid I must curtail your fascinating memories. I must bid you all farewell whilst I supervise the forthcoming global conflict. Guards, take my guests back to their hotel.
Bye.
As for Pomeroy and Cravat, I have more wily schemes afoot for them.
Was written by Ian Hislop and Nick Newman and starred Martin Jarvis as Foxwell Cravat, Mac McDonald as Max Pomeroy, Caroline Quentin as Iolanthi Diamond, Felicity Montague as Lady Arabella Derbyshire, Jonathan Coy as Charles Ambrose Fortescue DeVere, and also featured Julian Dutton, Toby Longworth, and Steve Steen. The producer was Colin Swuss.
Ha 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 ha